future. More at fao.org.
WRS.
Uniting nations across Switzerland.
Now, ahead of World Food Day, I spoke to Maximo Torero Cullen, Chief Economist of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, also known simply by the acronym FAO. The Food and Agriculture Organization was set up on the 16th of October in 1945. Maximo explained to me that it was created in the aftermath of World War II with the aim of alleviating poverty, hunger and malnutrition. Now, 76 years later, he says, much has improved, but we're still facing significant challenges. There are millions of people that still don't have access to sufficient food, and World Food Day offers the chance to reflect on progress, but it's also important to take stock on how to build support from the ground up and work with communities. Each year has a theme. This year's is better production, better nutrition, better environment and a better life. There's a lot to unpack there. So I asked Maximo to explain.
We know a lot about how to transform and improve agri-food systems, but the interlinkages between production, nutrition, environment and, of course, the consequence of a better life are central. So with our growing population, this is more important than ever. Better production ensures resilient and sustainable agri-food systems in a changing climate and environment. Better nutrition aims to achieve food security and improve nutrition in all its forms, including promoting nutritious food and increasing access to healthy diets, which today we know 3 billion people cannot afford a healthy diet. And better environment promotes approaches to protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial and marine ecosystems and combat climate change as we develop more efficient, inclusive, resilient, and sustainable agri-food systems. And better lives, of course, refers to the promoting of policies and actions that bolster inclusive economic growth by reducing inequalities. Inequalities between urban, rural areas, rich and poor countries, men and women. And those are central because the only way we can move out sustainable of the situation we are facing of hunger and poverty is by the reduction of inequalities.
Maximo, you talk there about inequality, and obviously the pandemic has provided many challenges, but what would you say the biggest threat to world food systems is at the moment? Is it COVID? Is it inequality? Is it climate change?
So today, what COVID-19 has done is exacerbated the drivers that we had behind already food insecurity and undernourishment. And the drivers were conflict, climate, slowdowns and downturns, which were key three elements that were affecting all our food systems. Now, what COVID-19 has done is shown that if they operate together with these drivers, the situation will even be worse. Mostly the impacts of COVID-19 has been initially impacts on the supply side in terms of logistics, in terms of mobility of food from one location to the other. But today the problem is the structural one, which is increase in lack of access to food. And this is because the measures that were put in place to reduce the impacts, the health impacts of COVID-19, the lockdowns, has as a consequence an economic recession. And that economic recession has affected the ability of countries and people to purchase food. And that's why the number of undernourishment, chronic undernourishment, has increased in 2020 in 161 million people. Now, at the same time, this has shown that the exacerbation of the problem is even worse when there is significant inequality. So I think COVID-19 has opened us even more the eyes that if we don't tackle inequalities at the country level, at the global level, we won't be able to achieve any of these SDGs. This is very evident now when you see that some countries are completely lacked in terms of vaccination. Other countries are doing better. You see countries that have the resources to do recovery plans and therefore their economies are starting to grow more faster. But there are countries that don't have those resources, are countries that have a lot of indebtedness and they don't even have access to liquidity. And despite some support from the IFIs and the IMF and so on, this is not enough at all. And if we want to change, all of the countries have to move together. And COVID-19 has shown that because everybody is interlinked. So reduction of inequalities will be central. And I think that's one big lesson learned of COVID-19. And yes, we are in a very challenging situation because of food access, not of food availability, but because of food access today.
So how do you suggest we tackle inequality?
Yeah, so inequalities can be tackled in several ways. And to be honest, very few countries have taken seriously to implement policies to reduce inequalities. But what we know today, we know that access to infrastructure significantly reduces inequalities. There is significant evidence on that. and what type of infrastructure. It can be hard infrastructure, roads, and so on and so forth, railroads, electricity, and especially digital technologies. So digital technologies has shown in COVID-19 that they can immediately respond to that. They can immediately give flexibility and can allow even rural areas and the poorest people to be able to have access to things because of the presence of digital technologies. But in most of these infrastructures, especially in digital technologies, we still face three challenges. No? Lack of access, meaning that they cannot connect, so connectivity issue. The second problem is the content that comes through these digital technologies. And the third problem is capabilities. So individuals, especially in rural areas, which not necessarily have high levels of literacy, it's more difficult for them to access to these technologies. So we need to tackle these three elements. Now, this infrastructure will help the poorest to be able to be linked to markets and be able to have access to information. We have developed a digital platform of food and agriculture, which will help us to bring best practices around the world. And we are also developing a new language for agri-food systems, which we call the food icons. It is basically working with images that has been scientifically validated to be able to give people access despite their capability and the challenges they have of literacy. So again, a lot of innovation that has to happen. The other area, of course, are reforms in terms of how you distribute the income of countries and how you can improve access to. And the third element, which is central, is where we have issues like the one of health that we are facing today. And that's where countries have to learn ways in which they can collaborate to assure that countries that don't have the resources to procure vaccines can have mechanisms to be able to access those vaccines. Because it's also to their own benefit. Because if countries, any country in the world continues to have the problem, then everybody in the world will have the problem. We need to put more political effort, especially on the bigger countries, the G7 and the G20, to assure that vaccination is universal, which is similar to food, which is a human right.
Is there anything that you would like individuals to know, individuals to do even, to make better choices? Can I do anything? Can people listening at home do anything?
So there is so much we can each do at the individual level. From a young age, children can learn to appreciate healthy, nutritious foods, and that's a behavioral change. Young people can also be a bridge of communication to parents that don't have necessarily the same literacy level. We call that upward intergenerational mobility, where kids can teach parents and we can use them as mechanisms of translation, of communication, of more technical information. We can also work enormously on changing behavior in terms of what we consume. You know, today we lose in food production around 14%. That means from the producer to the wholesale level. But from the retail to the consumer, we're losing 17% of food that has been already produced, and we waste it when we consume it in the restaurants, in the retail markets, or we send it to trash, which ends generating more greenhouse gas emissions.
Max Motuero-Cullen there. He is the chief economist of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. He explained that by reducing waste as well, it's a triple win. If we reduce losses and waste, we're improving the use of our natural resources. We're increasing the welfare of the people who produce the food, and at the same time, reducing the damage of water, soil and greenhouse gas emissions. So triple win. There is more info all about this at FAO.org. And you can find out more by clicking on World Food Day. It's also all in English. So FAO.org. We'll make sure there's a link up on our website as well at worldradio.ch under Listen Again.